Alrighty, welcome back to the Happy Hour Report. My name is once again DJ Ash Jeffs, and soon DJ T Tufts will be joining us. But for today, we'll have a lot of great topics that we're discussing on the show. So right now we're going to discuss the controversy at the US border, Trump's opinion on climate change report, detox teas, and the lead up to Ariana Grande's Thank You Next music video, as well as interviewing our wonderful friend Sophia. Sophia, do you want to say hello to listeners?
Hello, listeners. I want to give a shout out to Amanda, all the way from Holly Street, and Andrew, all the way from BC.
Thanks for giving a shout out to all of our to two of our listeners. Soph, if you don't mind if I call you that, why do you think I asked you to be on today's show?
Because we're roommates and you asked our other roommates, so you have to do me too.
There's a few reasons I actually asked you to be on today's show. So Soph is a student of life. She's been at two universities in the past couple of years. She's super passionate and really delves into all of her studies. And right now she's in a class that I feel like I learn from you every week, hearing about what you're learning in your class on social justice. So what is your course title and where have you been a student, if you want to share that with some of our listeners?
I have been a student at the University of Guelph and most recently the University of Waterloo. I've switched my program so many times, it's not even funny, but recently this semester I've gotten the opportunity to take an arts course, which is something that I've never really done before, and it has challenged me in more ways than one. I've been really thankful for my roommates, as they are arts experts, especially in the area of social justice and such. I've gotten to learn a lot about disability justice and ableism and such like that. And as a household, we've really been able to delve into that topic and discuss it more. And yeah, we wrote a paper together.
Yeah, it's really wonderful getting the opportunity to edit the work that you've done and just kind of like get to delve into a little bit of what you've been studying. Yeah, it feels like sometimes it feels like when you're taking, when you help your roommates with homework, it feels like you're taking the class together almost.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Okay, so what is something that you are passionate about?
I used to be a lot more passionate about a lot more things, but I'm going to say right now, I'm passionate about trying to find a way out of my four-year degree and trying to work more and also trying to see how many different ways I can buy clothes online and return them in store before they catch me.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, Black Friday was last week and...
Oh, my goodness, I spent close to $1,000.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. Wow. What was your best find?
Oh, shoes from Free People at 50% off, which never happens.
50% off.
50.
That's
wild. It was.
So I know that there's Black Friday and then there's Cyber Monday. That's a thing now. And actually, today is Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, you were mentioning that before.
Yeah. So Giving Tuesday, for the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, is a day where people are encouraged to donate to charities. So instead of spending your money on like a super great deal on a pair of shoes, you get the opportunity to maybe pick out a couple of charities that you're interested in and donate some of your money there before the holiday season, which I think is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and in our household, Ash started this initiative that we're going to be kind of hosting throughout the month of December called Give a Shirt. And yeah, Ash, do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah. So for my roommates and I, we all have a lot of passion for giving back. So we've started a campaign called Give a Shirt, where people can bring in business casual clothing. And we're currently in the process of looking into organizations within the community that help support, mostly women is what I was thinking, but help provide clothing for interviews for them and for work so that it makes it easier to enter into different workforces. I was just inspired to do this because I went to go visit friends in Georgia over the reading week, and one of my friends is a manager at a Pizza Hut, and she told me that she had seen a woman who we like ran into in public, and that woman had come into her store a few days before and actually had said that she was seeking a job, and she had walked for miles and miles. She was seeking a job because she wanted to get out of a situation with her abuser, and that she wanted to get a job so that she could support herself and her children. And the woman, unfortunately, my friend, her Pizza Hut wasn't hiring, so she didn't have any positions available to hire her. But I was thinking, like, that is such a sad, horrible situation to be in, but what can I do about it? And so the way I thought of kind of giving back would be to do a campaign like Give a Shirt, where people can bring business casual clothes so that we can at least help her with one aspect of finding a job. Mm-hmm. So if you have any organizations in the community that are looking for clothing donations, preferably business casual, to help donate to women and men, if we get clothing donations for men that are looking to enter the workforce, I'd really appreciate that. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Report, HourReport. But we're always looking for a way to give back. So what else are you passionate about right now? Would you say, like, more on the fun side? I know we just got pretty heavy there for a minute.
Oh my goodness, that's a loaded question. I'm really looking forward to Christmas, and I'm really passionate about everything Christmas right now. I actually had to wait until after 11 a.m. On November 11th to put up our Christmas tree, much to the dismay of our roommate, Amanda. She got kind of angry at me, but do you know what? I'm just so passionate about Christmas. I literally could not wait. But our Christmas tree looks beautiful now, and I'm so happy.
We did discuss with Amanda 2 weeks ago, when she was on the show, we were talking about Remembrance Day and how she was outraged that we put up the tree already. But she's since calmed down a lot. I think we found a lot of wonderful Christmas music this year. I'm not going to play it on the show today, but if you're looking for the cupcake Santa Tell Me remix,
oh my gosh,
I recommend it, but I am not about to play that on here today. Any sort of, like, what are you looking forward to, like, music-wise? Are you like a holiday music person, or like, what are you bumping right now?
Oh, I've been playing the Michael Bublé Christmas album since September. It's always a favorite, and it definitely, like, re-enters the Billboard top 200 every year because it's that good. And the song Cold December Night on that album, oh my
Never
gosh.
Never heard it.
You need to hear it. We're playing it tonight. We're playing it at home as soon as we get back.
Love it. So, we've had a good little chat right now, but we're going to give you a little break from us. I'd like to dedicate this song to you, Soph, because you are the person that showed it to me. And I know that when, alongside Michael Bublé, you have been bopping to Little Mix, and you are a stand for them. So,
heck yes.
Here is Little Mix, Woman Like Me.
You say what I'm feeling. I was born without a zip on my mouth. Sometimes I don't even mean it. It takes a little while.
Welcome back from that wonderful musical little treat for all of you. It's DJ Ash here with Soph. So, how do you feel about that song, Sophia?
Oh, I love it. Every time it comes on, I kind of start screaming on the inside and the outside sometimes.
Well, talking about things that make you want to scream on the inside and the outside a little bit, in today's news on politics and peace, the U.S. briefly shuts down border crossing using tear gas on asylum seekers. So just to recap the Al Jazeera article I was reading and some of the news reports I've heard, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection temporarily closed all vehicle and pedestrian traffic at the major port of entry between Tijuana, Mexico, and San Diego, California on Sunday. The port was closed for roughly 6 hours. So, the article does go on to say that the agency made the announcement as hundreds of immigrants and refugees marched towards the border in an attempt to put pressure on the U.S. government to allow thousands of asylum seekers to enter the United States. So, thousands of migrants and refugees have arrived in the Mexican border city in recent weeks as part of a caravan dubbed the Central American Exodus. Many have told Al Jazeera that they are fleeing violence, poverty, or political persecution. And more than 5,000 migrants and refugees have been cramped into a Tijuana stadium complex that is more than 2,000 people over capacity. Rights groups have accused the U.S. government of stalling the process of asylum claims, claiming CBP denies. It also says that Trump has created fear over the collective exodus by deploying thousands of U.S. military troops to the border and giving them expanded powers, including the okay to use lethal force. So we do have DJ T-Tufts joining us here today. And so you did bring this article to my attention. So what do you have to say about that?
What a tragedy, honestly. Like, how many times do we have to go through a similar thing to know that it's, we should be helping these people and not tear gassing them? Like, what the heck? And like, oh my God, America.
Yeah. So the Trump administration also implemented new asylum rules, which have been temporarily blocked by a federal court. Under the new rules, individuals crossing the border between official ports of entry would not be eligible for asylum. A judge last week blocked the rules from being enforced pending further hearings. So yeah, that's pretty sad, but kind of a little bit more on the happy side of this happy hour report is that prior to the border closing, hundreds gathered in San Diego to march in solidarity with the migrants and the refugees. So there's been a lot of collective groups and organizations that have joined together, and they've accused the Trump administration of creating a warlike atmosphere against the Central American exodus in Mexico. So there are lots of groups. I know that there are veteran groups even that are banding together to march against this kind of mistreatment. But, I mean, it's quite sad that here we are in 2018 and this is still happening.
Yeah, as somebody who's, like, kind of involved with, like, what's going on in Latin America, and I have a lot of Syrian friends also, so to see this, like, continuous cycle of, like, barring people from seeking safety is just so disturbing, honestly.
Yeah. It's quite sad.
Such amazing people, and honestly, they're lost because so many bright minds, bright futures, they could be embracing, but instead, I mean, in Canada's sake, we get all the talented refugees now, but that's really not the point here, so.
Yeah, it's quite sad. Definitely some food for thought, but we just want to give a shout out and encouragement to anyone that is marching or protesting or fighting in whatever way that they can, and we're proud to be part of a campus that has a lot of supports for refugees. I know that you're involved with an organization on campus that's really great, and I'm happy that even in times of darkness we have people that are there trying to shed light on situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, something that always lifts my spirits a little bit would be Solange. So here is Solange, Weary. Welcome back to the Happy Hour Report. So, DJ T-Tufts, you seem a little under the weather this week.
Yes, I went to the wellness center today because I coughed all through the night, and your girl's got bronchitis, so.
Oh my goodness.
It's been better, but alas, here we are.
We're gonna push through. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That really sucks.
It is what it is.
It's always like final season is the best because it's like you're stressed from school and then every germ has attacked your body, but you're exhausted. So you're like, I don't know if I'm just tired or if I'm sick.
I'm honestly blaming it on the whole romaine lettuce thing because now I have no excuse but to eat no vegetables. So it's not even my fault that this happened this way.
I went grocery shopping today and my roommate Amanda said, I don't trust any of it. So I put my kale back. I was like, I can't eat this. Someone keeps pooping on the lettuce. I can't. So talking about poop. Jamila Al-Jamil, I'm getting her character name from The Good Place. If you watch The Good Place, she plays Tahani, Jamila Jamil, and she's just honestly one of the most adorable people out there in the world right now. She's gorgeous, she's kind, she's funny, she's an advocate for so many things, but right now there's a little bit of a discussion going on in pop culture is about these detox teas. And so Jamila called out some other celebrities like Khloe Kardashian and Cardi B, saying she is fed up with ads featuring them, shilling weight loss teas. Jamil does not hold back, tweeting that she hopes that all these celebrities poop. I'm going to
censor,
poop their pants in public, and going on to explain that all the teas really do is give you diarrhea, which then gives you a flatter tummy for a day. She claims that these ads are selling self-consciousness. So what do you both think about these? Have you seen any of the advertisements for these detox teas?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, if you're looking for a quick fix for the night, go for it. But overall, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, you're, like, you know a lot about, like, health and wellness and the way the body works. So does it make sense that these teas would work, or?
I mean, a lot of it would be water weight that you'd be getting rid of, which is what a lot of fad diets do, but it's not going to do anything in the long run.
I mean, I definitely follow Khloe Kardashian on Instagram, like the sheep I am, but I'm just like, okay, I've seen your show. Like, I know you're out here, like, busting your ass 24/7 to look a certain way.
Yeah.
So even if there is some truth to this tea, I'm like, you are doing so many additional things that I refuse to believe. That, like, I saw that episode where she worked out with, like, Courtney, and maybe there's more than one, but I don't know. But it looked pretty rigorous. Like, I was winded just thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
So
I can't even get off the couch to do something. Honestly,
so I just... It also kind of reminds me of, I don't know if this is just, like, my hometown, but everyone is starting to, like, buy into these pyramid schemes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, I need 20 beautiful women to join my team to get these, like, tummy wraps. And I'm like, what even is that?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I think this is just, like, the monetarily successful version of those.
That's fair.
Almost, you know, like the celebrity pyramid scheme, I guess.
There's many fad, like, fad beauty trends, fad diet trends. What you were talking about, the tummy wraps. I remember the waist trainers and how the Kardashians were like, oh my goodness, everybody needs this, a couple of years ago.
They do work temporarily, which is if you want them for, like, I don't know, event or something, or, like, for one day, they will work, but, like, it's not going to be...
It's not a long-term solution.
I mean, for me, if I'm going to an event, I put on a bra with underwire, and I'm like, everyone's like, wow, you look so different, because this isn't a bralette. Or, like, wear
a shirt. I put on mascara, they're like, wow. And I'm like, oh,
here I know. Did you do something? Did you get a different haircut? Did you do something different? Yeah, I mean... I don't really feel like I have the need in my life of glamour to be doing that at this point, but...
Well, sometimes it's like a way of feeling good, too.
Yeah, gotta get the bomb instas.
Look good, feel good. Yeah. I subscribe to that.
Yeah, yeah, and I have, like, this thing where if I have a test or, like, an assignment due, I always try to, like, at least dress well. Like, I usually... Yeah. I don't always, like, do my makeup or, like... make my hair look decent. But I'm like, if I'm wearing a button-down shirt, my professor's not gonna think I just stayed up the whole night to draw this paper, which I probably did.
But. No, I put on earrings, and I'm like, look at me. My life is...
Together.
Excellent.
Together. Talking about things that are a little bit less than excellent, to jump back to news, the Trump on climate change report. So there's... a lot of discussion going around about this, obviously controversy around this, just like everything else he's doing right now. But just to quickly recap a little bit what's going on, Trump rejected the findings of a sobering report about the economic costs of climate change that was released by his own administration. The report, which was produced by scientists from 13 federal agencies, concluded that the United States would warm by at least 3 more degrees by 2100 unless the use of fossil fuels was dramatically curtailed. It also connected climate change to other environmental issues that Trump is astounded by, like record-breaking wildfires and storms and
a concept
and warned of negative effects on the economy and American livelihood. The U.S. has warmed roughly 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit in the past century, and 2017 was the country's second hottest year in history. Last year, the U.S. spent a record of $306 billion on climate-related disasters. Trump, who has rolled back numerous Obama-era climate protections and has moved to expand oil drilling in U.S. waters, announced last year that the U.S. would withdraw from the 2015 Paris Accord to combat climate change. So right now, a lot of the research that I've been doing in my classes is centered around the Anthropocene. So just like a short explanation of that is the Anthropocene is a geological era in which humans are the main determinant of the environment. So basically, all the things that we've done are impacting the environment. So all the technology that we have created has created the environment to be how it is. And now the environment, in turn, is changing and impacting us. So it's pretty disappointing to see that a leader of one of the biggest countries in the world and most influential country in the world is not acknowledging something that we have been known about for a long time.
We've been new.
We are some learned people. And just seeing how we constantly overlook it in the mainstream media. And I mean, if people are listening, they might have just learned the term Anthropocene for the first time. But it's something that's thrown around quite a lot, at least within my program, Communication Studies, and I know a lot of academics throw it around. So yeah, any comments on that?
It's kind of infuriating. Like, obviously everything he does is, but now it's like the fact that like now what he's doing is not only affecting like his own people, but it's affecting literally every person on this earth, because like I read somewhere that like China would have to roll back like an absurd amount of percent of what they put out. So it's like just, I don't know if it's even like feasible, like to be that drastic within the time that it like allotted for them. So exactly. It's just like, oh my God, sir, get out. Yeah. You're doing nothing right.
And it's like, if he's not going to stay true to the Paris Accord, then who is? Like, if he's going to pull out. And but yeah, there's just, I know some interesting facts about this that are all very upsetting. There's really not a lot of happy things to talk about in regards to this, but it's thought that the top 100 companies in the world make up 70% of greenhouse gas emissions. So it's like, as much as I want to say using a plastic straw or not using a plastic straw is going to change the world, because one person's actions do make a difference, because how we all choose to live our lifestyle, if we all choose to live a more environmentally friendly lifestyle, that's better. But individuals not using straws and so it's going to change everything. It's institutions and governments kind of bringing down laws that cause people to have to care about the environment. And
I read this thing that it's like climate change is like a direct result of capitalism, and that like to put all the blame on ourselves isn't fair, which at first I was like, well, we could be doing, but then you hear things like that and you're like, well, no, because like there's merit to what they said, because obviously if 70% is, what did you say, the top 10 companies?
Like, or that, top 100, yeah.
But still, like, so bananas. And like what they put out is like what we consume. So like, I mean, we have choices to an extent, but they kind of set the precedent for how we consume things. So
yeah.
I mean, they should be more accountable in some ways, I think, because clearly they're making a lot of money if they're the top 100 companies. So to demand more from them, I don't think is too much at this time.
Exactly. It's
personally
fascinating that capitalism created this problem, and now this problem is going to deepen the wage gap. So the equity issue becomes accelerated when the environment is being degraded, because developing countries are the ones that are often most impacted by natural disasters, because, well, oftentimes they're warmer, closer to water and stuff like that. But then on top of that, they don't have the economic resources to rebuild when natural disasters occur, or to protect themselves when natural disasters are occurring. So on that stance, it does impact it and widen it. And then also, as the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. As resources deplete, the rich can afford them, the poor can't. So, I mean, I think in 2019 and from now on, I'm trying to, like, be more conscious of what I do that impacts the environment, because it's becoming increasingly clear that people that are in charge don't necessarily do what they need to do.
Yeah.
But once again, they are the ones that need to do stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, here's a song that you probably didn't know was about climate change. Here's Childish Gambino. Feels like summer. Okay, so welcome back after that song. So once again, that was Childish Gambino, Feels Like Summer. So I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see that music video. I know we just kind of watched that in the background here while we chatted off air, but in the music video, you see an animated Childish Gambino walking down the street while a bunch of like other black artists, so like musicians, my idol Michelle Obama, actors, models, that type of stuff, are kind of just like doing normal summer things. And the whole music video, I've like watched so many of these like theories videos about this music video, because I was like, I think it's really cool, but Donald Glover is really smart and he probably was doing some cool things, and he was. So it's actually, you're distracted by all the celebrities that you completely miss the point that this song is about how temperatures are rising and climate change is a real thing. So that's fun. That's my fun fact of the day. But yeah, I just love Childish Gambino. This is America.
What a versatile individual, you know?
Yeah.
Fun. So smart, so funny.
So handsome.
So never talented. Never reveals a secret.
Yeah. He should write a book.
I would buy that book.
We can all buy it for each other.
Yeah.
For Christmas.
A gift exchange for each
other. I mean, no pressure. You have 1 month.
I mean, if you're looking to buy any Christmas or birthday presents for me, Michelle Obama's book's out, so.
I low-key plug that to my mom.
Yes, Soph's bought her grandpa Michelle Obama's book because that's...
It was his only request.
I love him. A man.
A good old Mennonite man.
I love that, yes. So, back to you, Soph. So, I know that you, much like the show, are a very, very big fan of Ariana Grande. So, you actually told me an update right before the show started about Ariana Grande. Would you like to share that with our listeners?
Yeah, 4 hours ago, she released a teaser video on her Instagram of the, for the music video. And it's, yeah, it's just like Mean Girls. And
I love it. A millennial queen.
She's so
Jonathan Bennett's in it. Gabby DeMartino, who is her kind of YouTube wannabe.
That's who she is.
Colleen Ballinger, also known as Miranda Sings, is in it as well.
And she's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a funny one.
So in the video, I've like been looking at her Instagram. Like, there are Mean Girls, Legally Blonde,
Bring It On,
13 Going On 30. Yeah, Bring It On are all referenced in it. And the video will be released on
Friday.
Oh my God.
We believe.
So, although this is our last show for this year, I mean, it'll still be bumping in our household, so we'll be playing it when we come back from the break. Like the winter break. We're not going on break right now. Also, she had such a cute performance on Ellen with the two background dancers.
Her little slip up was adorable. She fell off the chair.
She's so precious. I mean, she's gone through quite the year.
Mm-hmm. A woman.
She's doing that. It's really awesome. So, now I have some questions for you. No. So, here at the Happy Hour Report, we enjoy playing a little game called 36 Questions That Lead to Love. It's not really a game. It's just 36 questions that lead to love. But we get our guest to select a number, any number, between 1 and 36. And then we ask you a question, and we'll do probably like 5 to 6 rounds of this until we just basically are either sick too deep, too uncomfortable, or you're sick and want to leave.
Okay.
Alrighty, so you get your chance to pick your first question.
Pick
one.
Okay, I'm doing this blindly. I'm going to go with 21 because I'm 21.
Ooh. Ooh. I feel like we're like doing bingo. It's like... Soph, 21. Also, talking about bingo, go to Vine Go tonight with Twan at Wilf starting at 10 p.m. So, question number 21. What roles do love and affection play in your life?
Oh, my goodness.
We're going straight for the top.
Choosing 21.
Soph looked disgusted at the words love and affection.
Well, everybody that knows me knows that I'm so kind of anti-affection. I mean, my roommates are very into loving on each other, and I'm very much not. So when they all like to cuddle in their beds, I politely excuse myself. I will watch
from the corner in a chair.
Sometimes Soph just comes up to me, though, and, like, hugs me, and I'm always like, I'm not going to hug her back because she won't like it. I'm like, I know she wants to hug me, but she does not want to hug back.
It depends. There are certain times where I'm just like, I don't know why, but I need physical affection. But
Nash is always here for that. I'm a hugger.
True.
Same.
Okay. Well, so do you have any specific roles? You're just not.
No, I mean, it's not. Affection doesn't play a huge role in my life.
I feel like you're an affectionate person, but not physically.
Okay, so yeah, I guess there are different kinds of affection.
Like, you compliment people like nobody else.
Really? I would say that I don't.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like, even before we were close friends, you'd be like, Ashley, blah, blah, blah. Like, these are things I love about you. And you're just like, you know how to pinpoint things that make people feel so special. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason I wanted you to be here.
That's good, like, because I don't compliment people. Like, I would say I don't compliment people very much because I only say it when I truly mean it. So, like, I don't compliment people unless I mean it. So.
But people always remember when you compliment them. Mm-hmm. A self-compliment is, like,
yeah, the highest praise. It's really... Oh, gosh.
Okay, do you want to pick another number between 1 and 36?
My mama's favorite number is 7, so let's do that.
Alrighty, let's send it. Oh, this one's dark. I actually think we've had a past interview pick this one, but we're going to go for it, and you don't have to answer if you're uncomfortable. But do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
A secret hunch? I don't know. At one point in my life, I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it to 30, and I didn't know why. But, I mean, I don't think that anymore.
Was it the romaine lettuce?
Yeah, it was.
The romaine lettuce incident. Write it down. It
always gets me.
I'm hoping to stay alive, but, I mean, whatever happens, happens, and it happens for a reason. The world can only handle so much.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, that sounds awful.
I know. Okay, we'll pick another one that hopefully isn't as dark or deep. But these questions lead to love, so they have to be more than surface value.
Let's go 24.
24. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share ...
Oh. A love for Taco Bell. Nobody else likes it like I do. There's not a single person who has the passion for Taco Bell that I do.
True.
No, truly. Like, some people are like, that's friggin' disgusting. Or, oh, no, I'm scared to try it. But, no, I love that place. That is always my first choice of restaurant. I just never suggest it because nobody else wants to go there. And I used to email them, not complaining, but just thanking them for the variety. I'd be like, thank you for making the baked potato burrito because it saved my life.
Thank you for changing fries, the game for me.
Cheese and sour cream and bacon wrapped in a tortilla. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I ain't even mad. Taco Bell's pretty dope, honestly. I just feel like I cannot sustain a long career with it at my side.
Taco Bell is something I will have a craving for, but not something that I could say I'm, like, passionate about. But they do have a spicy potato burrito in the States, and it's a taco. My bad. Delicious. 10 out of 10.
I'm kind of tempted to go there now, but
maybe we should grab some tea.
Always down for this.
Okay, so what's your go-to meal at Taco Bell?
Oh, sometimes, Crunchwrap Supremes are always good.
Oh, yeah.
But I usually just go for a beef burrito because I love queso, and everybody who knows me knows that I love queso and will eat it on this, like, by the spoonful.
Oh, yeah, I should, like, drink it.
It's disgusting, but it's so good.
Do you like the queso at the movies, too? Or is that,
the liquid cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, any kind of liquid cheese is good. Any kind. I tried to smuggle some spray cheese or cheese in a can back from the States, and they took it away from me.
I tried to bring some peanut butter once, and they were like, what? And
peanut
I
was butter?
Like, it's Reese's peanut butter. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's in the cup.
That's like, so good.
Because it's definitely different than regular peanut butter. Don't even at me. It's different.
It's like so much more icing sugar and just so good.
I wonder if we can make it. Oh, I mean, it's not going to be as good, but... Yeah. We can try.
Mm-hmm. I should have, honestly, it's because I, am honest and I'm terrified of getting caught smuggling stuff across the border. So they're like, do you have food? And I was like, yes. And I had to like dig past all my like socks and underwear from like a trip. And I was like, this is embarrassing. And they're like, ma'am, you cannot take this jar of peanut butter with you. And I was like,
they probably just want it so they save it for later.
They're like, dang, parties. That looks dope. I'm taking that.
Yeah, the seal wasn't even broken. I wonder if they ate it.
Oh, I would.
Does peanut butter count as like a
liquid?
That's
what I was wondering. Is this a liquid or is this a solid? Because
very much
a either solid. Way, I'm going to eat it. So.
If you think peanut butter's a liquid, no offense, but that's busted.
Yeah, like,
no. Especially when it interferes with your ability to bring it to your homeland. Rude.
Okay. What is your next number?
34.
34. Your house, containing everything you own, catches fire. After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be? Why?
Oh, definitely. I would have grabbed this in the first place, but my teddy bear.
Oh. And
I've had him since I was born, and he like is just in my bed all the time, just chilling. He looks like he's literally about to fall apart because I've pulled out all of his fur. And so it looks like the skeleton of a knit bear. But, yeah, I definitely grab him.
He's just a shred of the man he used to be, but still got love for the fam.
Also, have you guys seen This Is Us?
I have not.
Yeah.
Okay, disclaimer, do not go back in the house for anything
that
isn't your family. Don't do it.
The dog.
That's all I'll say because...
Taryn is literally sipping tea. That's all I've got to say.
Don't do it, fam.
Oh my goodness.
Trust, the show's great. Watch it.
If we named our segments, I really think I should have been like, and our next segment, here's the tea, and then we could have talked about the detox teas. 2019 will be a big year, people, but...
Once we get our stuff together, it's over.
Yeah. It'll be a big one. Okay, final number that you'd like to choose.
Oh, let's do one.
One. Okay, wow. Okay. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to ask you this too, Taryn.
Yeah, oh, Taryn, man. Can you go first?
Okay, on the spur of the moment, I would have to pick Amal Clooney. Because, like, what a woman, right? Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, George's wife. And I'm like, not even, though. No, not even. Like, what a woman. I would be... honored if she would even look at me, let alone have dinner with me. So
that's a very like top-notch choice.
I aspire to be here, although I know I will never achieve such greatness.
Some are born great, some achieve greatness, some are Amal Clooney. Okay, so
right now I kind of want to have dinner with the prof of my arts course just to apologize for how bad I'm doing in the course. I mean, she already gave me a phone call and multiple emails, and I'd just like to sit her down and genuinely apologize for my how challenging this has been for the both of us.
I feel like you are definitely doing the most that you can. Like, I feel like you're doing, like,
I haven't done a single assignment. I have not There are, I think, 30-something assignments, and I've submitted one.
I did not know this. I did not.
I'm submitting the second one on Friday.
I mean, if you need help editing anything,
let's get this bread.
Let's get this bread.
Actually, that's a lie. I've submitted 3.
I was going to say, I've definitely seen you do work.
I forgot about the first semester couple with Drake.
Oh, yeah.
I had to write about Drake, and I felt so uneducated.
Let me give you a lesson on why Drake is great.
Yeah.
Like, describe everything we know.
Sorry.
I think I would have dinner with, anyone dead or alive. I'm adding another layer because I'm making the rules. Maya Angelou. I just had this, like, rush of sadness earlier today when I was talking to someone, and I was like, I'm never going to meet her because she's dead. And I was like, that's really sad. I feel like there was points, like, I feel like she really inspired me a lot growing up, and her writing was always super beautiful and dark and proved that someone can triumph over all the dark things that go on in the world. And losing her was a true tragedy for everyone. She taught the world so much. So I would love to have dinner with her. Also, I feel like she's a great sense of humor, and she's a bit of a badass woman. So
that's a good one.
Well, that ends the segment on 36 questions that lead to love. We hope that you, too, love Soph after that segment.
Oh, man.
I do.
So, Taryn, this is our last show of 2018.
Crazy.
And so, we'd like to leave you with some advice. Soph, what are some words that you live by?
Oh, my goodness. I was just looking, and something that I want to live by, at least like from now until the end of the year, is this quote that I found. It's just, I took it off. I did not want to carry it with me anymore. And it's something that I'm going to do, because there are a lot of things that I want to take off because I don't want to carry them.
Yeah. That's definitely, wow.
Sorry, digging a little deep.
That, like, so deep. If this was 2012, I'd be like, dude, you're so deep, I can't even see you. But it's almost 2019, so I think I need to let that line go.
Grown.
Okay, Taryn, what are your words to live by?
A quote from Kehlani, as I would do normally. So she said, you bruise someone's ego when you walk out on their poor treatment. Whatever they do to feed and mend it after isn't your business, though it will be aimed and fired at you. It has nothing to do with you, and carry on. So that's just, not that this is particularly pertinent to my life at this time, but it's just a good thing to remember that, like, when you leave behind someone's negative treatment, they will do crazy things to try to make you feel some type of way about it, but it's not your problem anymore. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind in terms of that 2019 will be better than 2018.
Yeah. I do hope for the world that 2019 is a more peaceful, more collective, more kind year to everyone, myself included. And I have spent a lot of this year kind of like reflecting on the quote, like, live your life in a way so that if people speak illy of you, no one believes it. And I don't know if I necessarily believe that anymore. So I think maybe do your research. And also, I tried to think more so about how Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you did, people will forget what you said, but they won't forget the way that you made them feel. So do all that you can to make people feel peaceful, loved, cared for, and after that it's not your problem anymore once you've done all that you can. So on that note, thank you for joining us here at the Happy Hour Report. We hope that you tune back in 2019. But in the meantime, have yourself a happy holiday season. And take our advice, unless you don't want to. Then don't. Alrighty. Take care. Peace and love. The Happy Hour Report.